Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Aleph. We are holding on the top of daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph. We are at Va'amar Rava Bar.
Moving on the seasons. Check how long everybody's.
Oh, okay. We're holding on daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph at the top, and the Gemara is in the middle of discussing the nine different statements of Rava Bar Mechasya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav. So we went through the first four of the nine statements yesterday. Today we're going to finish the other five statements. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether a person should stop learning in order to daven or to say Kriya Shema, meaning we were talking in the Mishnah about stopping to eat in order to daven or say Kriya Shema. Now we're going to talk about whether a person is learning Torah, should a person stop learning in order to daven or say Kriya Shema. Then we're going to have a Mishnah where the Mishnah is going to give us more gezeros, many more gezeros. Some of them are about Erev Shabbos, and that's what the Mishnah is doing here. Some of them are about Shabbos itself, and others are just regular gezeros. The Gemara is going to discuss what happens if a person is standing in one rishus and he leans over to drink in another rishus. Is that permissible to do? And we're going to discuss different possibilities of types of rishuyos. And then we're going to have a machlokas whether we make a gezera ligzera on hotza'a, machlokas Abaye and Rava, and there are going to be four rayas. And then the Gemara is going to discuss a zav going out with a bag that he would wear over his aver for protection from whatever's coming out of his body. And we're going to have a stira between two brisos and three ways to resolve that stira, the first two of which appear on today's daf. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for sponsoring the daf Yomi Shir. So again, we are holding at the Amma, the three lines on the top of the page on daf Yud Aleph Aleph at the two dots. Vi Amar Rav Bar Mechasya Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya Amar Rav. Kol ir shegagoseha gvoen mi beis haknesses. Any city whose roofs are higher than the roofs of the houses are higher than the roof of the beis haknesses. L'sov chareva. Such a city will be destroyed. Shenemar l'romim es beis elokeinu l'ahamid es charvosav. That it sounds that we're supposed to be meromim. We're supposed to elevate the house of Hashem above all other houses. And through that we're zocha to live in Yehuda. Meaning to live in a city that is built and to not be in a city that is destroyed. V'hanimili bibatim, but that's only true about regular homes that people live in. Aval b'kashkushe v'avarvare, which is machlokes shon what these things are, but homes, let's assume, that are not made for homes, houses, buildings, structures that are made for decoration, or towers that are like watchtowers. So the Meiri says that we're talking about the migdalim that are made for the chizukair, for bitzor achoma, to strengthen the city, for the protection of the city. The Aruch says that no, it means the Chomasi'ir itself, that the wall of the city could be higher than the shul. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that no, kishkushe means lekashkesh, it means like to ring a bell, like a bell tower. But whatever it is, all of these buildings that are not meant for people to be living in, for people to dwell in, such buildings are allowed to be higher than the shul. So it's less than, but we don't have this Isser, you're allowed to elevate them above the Beis HaKnesses. There is a Machlokas Rishonim, why it's Usser to elevate any other Gag more so than the roof of the Beis HaKnesses. The Rush writes that the Isser is because of Bizayon Beis HaKnesses, that you're going to be utilizing a space that's higher than the Beis HaKnesses, and according to that, it's Usser Dafka by houses that you are actually utilizing, where the roofs of the homes are something that are put in use, but it would not apply, like the Gemara says, to batim that are made just for noi, or for protection, and also to slanted roofs, where it's not shayach to use the roof. So that also would not apply. However, the Rambam seems to say a little bit differently. The Rambam seems to say it's didn't kavod beis haknesses, not in the bizayon of using something else, but just that a person looks at the skyline of the city, and the beis haknesses should look like the most impressive building. And that's part of the din of kavod beis haknesses. And it would turn out, l'chora, that according to the Rambam, we have difficulty with the Gemara's exceptions that the Gemara makes, meaning kavod beis haknesses should be clear that the beis haknesses is the most elevated building in the city. It should be neshalma parim svasenu, that we should have the ability to be mechabi the beis haknesses through our learning, now when we don't have the ability to be mechabi the beis haknesses in person, unfortunately. So, but certainly in our shul that's being built, we're mekayim this in spades. I mean, our Beis HaKnesses, Baruch Hashem, looks like it's higher than any other building, at least in North Woodmere, by a lot. So says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Ashi, Ano Avdi L'masa Mechasi D'lo Charve. He says, you know, I took the responsibility. I made sure that the town of Masa Mechasia was not destroyed because I made sure that no homes in the city were elevated above the Beis HaKnesses. I prevented people from being magbia their homes, from elevating their homes higher than the Beis HaKnesses. The Rush writes in the name of Yesh Omrim that Rav Ashi actually forced them to lower their homes, because otherwise he just gave them an Eitzah not to elevate their homes more than the Beis HaKnesses. What's the great Chiddush? Everybody knows that. That's the din we just said. But the Rush adds that Rabbeinu Chananel explains that Rav Ashi was mitzavah them to be magbia the Beis HaKnesses, meaning there are two ways you could go about this. If you see that people's homes are taller than the Beis HaKnesses, you could, and one of them will be more popular than the other. You could tell people to lower their homes, so that's the Rush suggests. But Rabbeinu Chananel says, no, why would he do that? Adrabah, tell them to elevate the Beis HaKnesses, and that would be the greater way of doing things. Just a matter of perspective. Reminds me of the famous story in our local yeshiva in South Shore when Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky came to visit and he saw the mezuzah on the kindergarten room was very low so that the kindergartners could be able to reach it. So Rav Yaakov said, I don't like this. This is the wrongest bad chinuch. It's the wrong place to put a mezuzah. So he said, well, what should we do so the kids could kiss them, back in the days when you were allowed to kiss the mezuzah? What could we do so that the kids could kiss the mezuzah? So Rav Yaakov said, you put a chair next to the door so that the kids could climb up on the chair and reach the mezuzah, right? You can lower something or you can elevate something. So better, says Rabbeinu Chananel, to elevate that which we are trying to be mechabed. So says Gemara, but wait a second. So Rav Ashi is bragging, I made sure that Masa Mechasi would never get destroyed by making sure that the Beis HaKnesses was the highest building. But Vacharva, but it did get destroyed. Meaning, where's Masa Mechasi? It doesn't exist anymore. So obviously it didn't work. So says Gemara, Meosi Avon Lo Charva. Yeah, but that was because of a different Avera. It wasn't at least from the Avera of elevating other buildings over the Beis HaKnesses. Sixth statement of Rav Bar Mechasi, Rav Chaim Bar Guri Amrav. Vam Rav Bar Mechasi, Rav Chaim Bar Guri Amrav. Tachas Yishmael velo Tachas Nachri. If a person has a choice of which type of government to live under, better to be under the control of a Yishmael rather than a Nachri. Nachri over here means an Edomi, that the Edomim are much more evil than the Yishmaelim. Historically, that is true, whether recent history has been that way or not, but historically for the Jewish people, neither of them have been particularly nice to us, but the Edomim were much worse to us than the Yishmaelim. Tachas Nachri, better to be under an Edomi, velo Tachas Chabar. Chabar is the Parsiim, that they prevented us from doing mitzvos as well, whereas the Edomim didn't prevent us from doing mitzvos, they just persecuted us. Tachas Chabar, velo Tachas Tamil Chacham, and better to be living under the jurisdiction of a Chabar and not a Tamil Chacham, because a Tamil Chacham, if you start up with a Tamil Chacham, then you get punishment of Shemayim, and that could be a much worse punishment. That could be something that's much more hurtful to us, much more harmful to us. The Ritva explains that it's impossible to be Nizhar in the covenant of the Tamil Chacham the way that one is supposed to be, and therefore the Onesh is much more likely to happen. Ben Yoyada says that better to be Tachas the Af and the Kas of a Chabar or a Nachri, because the way that they're going to punish us is with physical punishments, and there are always ways around physical punishments. There's always an Eitzah. But the Kas of a Tamil Chacham, the Rit Chedaraisa, to be singed by insulting a Tamil Chacham, by hurting a Tamil Chacham, that makes a Roshem Lamaila in Shemayim, and in Shemayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wage a war on his behalf, and that's why that's something that a person can never properly protect himself from. So a person has to be careful about a Tamil Chacham. I know it's not like politically correct to say, but I've seen with my Rebbe, I've seen people start up with him and he didn't do anything, and you just saw them fall apart shortly thereafter. It's like, it's a little bit frightening sometimes, that a person has to be careful with the honor of a significant Tamil Chacham. And then Tachas Tamil Chacham lo Tachas Yasam Valmana. And if you think starting up with a Tamil Chacham is going to get them upset in Shemayim, start up with a Yasam and Almana, and it's much, much worse. That how many times is the Torah mitzavah us to be protective of the Yasam and the Almana, to be careful for those who don't have others to care for them. Seventh statement. Va'amar Rav bar Mechas, yamar Rav Chaim bar Gurya, amar Rav. Kol choli, if a person could have any illness, v'lo choli me'ayim, they're all better than a stomach ailment. Those are the worst. Kol ke'ev, any sort of ache, v'lo ke'ev lev, and not heartache. Kol mechush, any feeling unwell, v'lo mechush rosh, but not feeling unwell in the head. Kol ra'a, v'lo isha ra'a. A person could suffer through any evil, but not to be sovel in isha ra'a. Motza, motza, we had already in the Gemara that matzi isha matza tov, a person finds an isha tova, that is a very, very positive thing. And on the flip side, an isha ra'a can make a person's life as miserable as possible. The Meiri writes that even though there are a lot of qualities that a person has to be bodek before marrying a woman. The Gemara says in Maseches Psachim that a person should be careful to marry a bas talmid chacham, and the psukim tell us in Parshas Chayisara that a person has to be careful about how Eliezer was careful to find a balas midos, how Avram at least instructed Eliezer to be careful to find a balas midos. So all of these things are very important, the yichus and the krovim, and to be bodek in the brothers of the woman, because that's going to be an indication of how the woman is going to be. But says the Meiri, there's nothing more important than the midos than her behaviors, because a woman who does not have proper midos will cause a person a tremendous amount of heartache. And adrabba, when she has proper midos, when she has midos that are admirable, it will elevate the husband and cause him to aspire to become a better person, and they'll live with a greater sense of shalom of shalom between them. So that's the requirement, says the Meiri, above all else is midos. It's interesting, when you answer a lot of calls about shiduchim, a lot of times people don't seem that interested in midos, or at least they don't ask about it. You know, they ask about the family, and they ask about the money, and they ask about everything else, but midos doesn't seem to sometimes it's disappointing. I once got a phone call, I may have told the story, but it's one of my favorites. I once got a phone call, I mean, it's horrible, but I once got a phone call about a Talmud of mine, where the person called up and said, how does he dress? So I said, he dresses nicely. And how does he dress on Shabbos? Also nicely. Does he wear a white shirt? Sometimes. They said, okay, thank you very much. I said, that's it? That's all you wanted to know? That's everything. You know, you contrast that. I got a phone call once from a fellow who's a big Talmud Chacham and an extremely wealthy person. He told me to find out about a shidduch for his daughter. And he told me that, I said, what do you want me to ask about this fellow? So he said, just ask if he's going to be nice to my daughter. I just want to know if he has nice midos, if he's going to be nice to my daughter. That's all he was interested in. Very powerful fellow. So I called up the guy's rabbi, and I said, I'm calling about this boy. And he said, oh, he's a genius. He's this, he's that. He went through the whole thing. And then I said, you know what? The guy really didn't want to know. He just wanted to know if he's going to be nice to his daughter. So he said, oh, no, he's absolutely not. He has terrible needles. He's not going to be nice to his daughter. So it's important sometimes to ask the right questions. That's what the Meiri tells us, that a person should look for midos more than anything else. It is a little bit strange that the Gemara tells us which illness to choose for ourselves, as if like we have the option, like you check off a box in the morning that, stomach ache, no thanks, headache, maybe. So that's a little bit odd. So I saw in the Masifta, they quote from a Sefer Rav Yevi, which I don't know the Sefer, but it says that that the idea is that typically HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us mida keneged mida, and the aver through which a person sins, that's where he suffers illness, and from there the illness spreads to the rest of the body. So choli me'ayim, ke'ev lev, mechush harosh are keneged kina, taiva, and kavod. And therefore, a person should distance himself from those things, because it's going to be motzi es ha'adam mina olam, according to the Mishnah. And an isha ra'a is kenegan minus, which is worse than all of them, because the Pasuk says in Mishlei, kol ba'elo yeshuvim lo yisigu orchos chayim. So that's the worst of all the evils, to have the isha ra'a. Okay, so that is statement number 7. Now statement number 8. V'am rav v'am rachas yom rav chan bar gurya amarav. Im yu kola yamim diyo. If all of the seas were ink. Agamim kulmosim, and all of the agamim, all of the swamps were quills. Shamayim yurios, meaning the swamps have reeds, so it makes sense that they would be quills. Shamayim yurios, and the heavens were cloth. V'kol b'nei adam lav larin, and all people were scribes. It sounds like in Nishmas, right? So, but it's going to end a little differently over here. Ein maspikim lichtov chalala shal rashus. We would not be able to describe the depths of complexity of running a government, of running a country. That the shabshi shlafrak. Wow. We would not be able to describe the depths of what it takes to run a country and the complexity of what you have to deal with in order to run a country. Mikra, what's the pasuk where that is merames to this? Amar Rav Sharshia, Shemayim larum va'aretz la'omek v'lev malachim ein cheker. That it's impossible to understand the depth of the lev malachim, of what has to go through a king's mind when he makes a decision. There are so many complexities and so many competing factors that he has to always have in mind. And final statement, v'amar Rav bar Mechasi, amar Rav Chama bar Gurya, amar Rav, yafa tainis l'chalom ke'esh l'na'ores. Back to a topic we had back in Maseches Brachos, that a tainis is good for a dream, much like Eish L'Na'oris, as much as a fire immediately destroys flammable material. If a person had a bad dream, that's a bad omen for the person, so a tainis will immediately be mevatalit. Amar Rav Chisda, ubovayom. But the tainis has to be on that very day. The Ritva writes that if a person forgot or was ne'enas and he couldn't fast on that day, so he should fast the next day. But since the tainis the next day is not as strong, it's not as powerful as a tainis on that day, only a tainis on that day would be docha Shabbos. So if a person had a dream on Thursday night and he forgot to fast Friday, he would not fast on Shabbos, even though he can make up the tainis at a later time. So Vamar Rav Yosef, afil b'Shabbos. And Rav Yosef says, yeah, it's bo b'yom, and you're even allowed to fast on Shabbos. The reason it only helps bo b'yom, the Ritva writes in Maseches Tainis, is because if a person delays the Tainis, so he's not going to be as frightened anymore, and therefore it's gonna affect the level of tshuva that he does. That we assume that a person will do a higher level of tshuva when he has that that fear when he's frightened. But a day later, he already doesn't feel it as much, and therefore the tshuva is not going to be the same, because the ikur clearly is not the tainus. The ikur is clearly about the tshuva. That's what the achronim write, that the tainus is b'makom a karban, that a karban only helps with tshuva, so tainus chalom also only helps with tshuva. Rabbi Yeshua b'reid Ravidi ikla lebe Ravashi adila igla tilta. He went to visit the house of Ravashi, and for the cover of Rabbi Yeshua b'reid Ravidi, they made for him an igla tilta, which is a very choice piece of meat. So what is igla tilta mean? So Rashi writes that tilta means third born from its mother. Now we assume the first two calves that are born from the mother are not as healthy, they're not as strong, so the best meat comes from the third born calf from the mother. Now in Maseches Erevin, Rashi writes that no, igla tilta means grown to one third of its full growth, based on the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, that Rav Chanina and Rav Oshia were Osek and Sefer Yetzira every Erev Shabbos, and they created an igla tilta with Sefer Yetzira. So it's hard to imagine that it means the third born if they're doing it with Sefer Yetzira. So that's the raya that they say, that it must be that it's one third of the growth, of the final growth. That's like like veal, you know, that that it's softer meat because the animal has not yet had a chance to grow fully. I'm not taking a stand right now on whether veal is recommended or not. It's a fascinating halachic topic about veal, but not for right now. The Ritva is Miyashev Rashi, and the Ritva says that the Gemara in Sanhedrin means that they created an egel that was as good as a third-born egel. It doesn't mean that it was actually the third-born, but Rashi might be correct that generally iglatilta means the third-born. So anyway, Amrulei Lito Marmidi. So they said to the Ravashi's family, said to Rabbi Yeshua b'reid Ravidi, why don't you have something to eat? Samar lehu, so Rabbi Yeshua said, b'tainis yisivna, I'm fasting today. Samar lehu, v'lo samar lehu mar, lahad Rav Yehuda, don't you hold of what Rav Yehuda says, dam Rav Yehuda, lova adam ta'anisa uporeya, that a person can make up for a missed fast. So don't worry if you don't fast today, because how often do you get a chance to eat such a wonderful meal, to eat an igla tilta? So if you don't fast today, you'll fast another day, and it'll be a tashlumin for your missed fast. There is a machlokas Rishonim, when this applies. When can you make up a missed fast? Is it only if you just commit that I'm going to fast? So you didn't commit to a particular day, so then you can choose to fast a different day, you can make it up on a different day. Or is it even if you commit to fast on a particular day, you're more specific about when you are going to fast, even then, if you miss that day, you're allowed to make it up on another day. The Rambam and the Rush say that if you're mekabel a particular day, the Rambam in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Nedarim, that if you're mekabel a particular day, then you have to do that day. You're not able to make it up on another day. The Rashba disagrees, and the Rashba has a raya because they told him that lova adam taniso. Why couldn't he just answer back? Yeah, but I committed to fast. How could they even ask? Rather, lova adam taniso, that you should make up the fast on a different day. What kind of question? Maybe he had committed to fast on that day, and you can't make it up on a different day if you hold like the Rambam. So says the Rashba, must be that I'm right, that even when you commit to a particular day, you're allowed to make it up on another day. So Amar Lahu, Rabbi Yeshua said, I'm not able to be mashlim this tainus on another day for a different reason. Tainus chalomu, v'amar Rav Bar Chasya, v'amar Rav Chaim Bar Guri, v'amar Rav Yafa, tainus l'chalom, ke'esh l'nores, v'amar Rav Chisu, bo bayom, v'amar Rav Yosef, afil b'shabes, because it's a tainus chalom, and it's so important that it be done on that day, and even if that day were Shabbos, you have to do the Titus Chalom. So that's why I'm unable to make it up on another day. Okay, period. Now the Gemara discusses v'mischilu ein mafsikin. We had said that if they had begun having a meal, you don't have to stop in the middle. But mafsikin le kriyashma, and we said you stop for kriyashma, just not for tefillah. So ask the Gemara, why does the Tana have to say ve'in mafsikin le tefillah? Hatana le resha. We already said in the beginning of the Mishnah, imischilu ein mafsikin. So at the end of the Mishnah, we say mafsikin le kriyashma. So I know ein mafsikin le tefillah. You already told me at the beginning of the Mishnah that ein mafsikin le tefillah. Rabbi Kiveger just points out that there's a that l'chora this kasha is not a kasha. If you look back at the Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah was talking about samach lemincha, that you're not mafsik for tefillah. The end of the Mishnah is talking about samach lemariv. So it could have been that since at night people tend to drink more and there's a greater chashash that you'll feel a false sense of security because you have all night long to say to daven. I mean, it's not like mincha where time is of the essence, so you may be negligent and you may not daven mariv. So maybe the Mishnah would have said that you have to be mafsik in order to daven mariv. So that's why the Mishnah had to be mechadesh at the end, that the same applies to mariv as well. That's not only to mincha. So Kivega leaves it as a tzarachiyun. Why would the Gemara ask this kasha? It seems like there's an obvious answer. So, you know, the famous mice of the fellow that wrote a sefer where he came up with all of the answers to Rabbi Kiveger's kashas and Gilyan Ashas that were left as the Tzarachin or Hashem Yair Seinai, except for three. There were only three that he couldn't come up with answers to. And he brought the sefer to the stipler for Haskama, and the stipler said, this is such a remarkable work. I've never seen someone who learned through all of Shas, learned every kasha of Rabbi Kiveger and all of Shas, and only understood three of them. Right? When Rabbi Kiveger leaves the kasha as a tzarachiyun, it usually means something that it's a tzarachiyun. So anyway, so we have to try, you know, the Torah hivul melon tzrichim, right? We have to do our best. But anyway, so hatay le resha ein mafsikin. So the resha already says ein mafsikin. Says Gemara, no, the Seifa is talking about a different being mafsik. Seifa ason le divrei Torah. It's telling me that if you're learning Torah, you don't have to stop your learning in order to daven. So it's a totally different din from the resha of the Mishnah. The resha is talking about stopping eating. Now we're talking about stopping learning. Detanya chaverim shayoskim betorah. If you have talmid chacham that are learning Torah, mafsikin the kriyas shma, they have to stop learning in order to say kriyas shma. But vein mafsikin the tefillah, they do not pause their learning in order to daven. Am Rabbi Yochanan lo shanu ela kegon Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai v'chaverav. That this idea that someone who's learning Torah doesn't stop to daven and just keeps learning, that's if you're on the madrega of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and his chaverim, shetarasan umnasan, that they only engage in Torah, they don't stop for anything, they don't work for a living, they don't do anything else except for learn. So someone who's tarasan umnasan, such a person doesn't have to stop his learning to daven. But the rest of us, we say, Zman Torah l'chud, Zman Tefillah l'chud. Like we said yesterday, Aval kagon anu, mafsikin l'kriyas shma l'tefillah. But people, the likes of us, have to stop for kriyas shma and tefillah. So they ask the kasha, the achronim, the rishonim, Rabbi Tosfos asked the kasha. He says, wait a second. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai v'chaverav, they don't stop to daven? Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai doesn't stop learning to daven? It's a beferish gemara mesachas Shabbos. Shabbos daf lamed gimel. Very famous daf and shas. Shabbos daf lamed gimel is the lag. Omer Gemara. I mean, it doesn't mention the words Lag BaOmer anywhere in Shas, but it's about the story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the cave. So what is the story that when they were in the Ma'ara, Beidan Suye Lovshu Michsu Umatzlu. When it came time to daven, they unburied themselves. They had buried themselves in dirt, in sand, up till their necks in order to be able to learn all day. And when it came time to daven, they put on their clothing. They got dressed to daven. What do you mean? What were they davening for? It's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He should have been learning the whole time. So it says Tosfos that Tzluye means Kriyashma over there. That it doesn't mean that they were davening. You have to stop for Kriyashma. Everyone has to stop for Kriyashma, but not for davening. In the Gilyon HaShas, he points out that Tosfos Maseches Brachos and Daf Tes Vav Amar Aleph says that the word Tzluye never means Kriyashma. It always means Tvila. So that's going to be a problem for our Tosfos. Unless what you say is, no, they stopped for Kriyashma. Once they stopped for Kriyashma, they were no longer learning. So now they had to daven because they had paused in order to say Kriyashma. And Graham Horovitz in the back of the Gemara suggests like that. So ask the Gemara, Vatanya, but don't we have a brisa? Kishem she'in mafsik in the tefila, kachin mafsik in the Kriyashma. That just like we're not mafsik for tefila, so too we're not mafsik for Kriyashma. So it sounds like even someone who's Torasu Umnaso is not mafsik for Kriyashma, just like he's not mafsik l'tfila. So that's a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that someone who's Torasu Umnaso is mafsik for Kriyashma. Says the Gemara, ki tani ahi, when the Braisa says that, it's bi'ibur shana. It's talking about the seven people that would go up to an aliyah, to an attic, the Gemara in Sanhedrin describes, and they would discuss whether to be ma'aber the shana, whether there was, you would imagine in something like this, there would be ma'aber the shana, give people more time to prepare for Pesach. They're like, we're not ready yet for a Pesach. But like, based on other circumstances in those days, they would be ma'aber the shana, during the time that they were having those discussions, they wouldn't even be mafsik for Kriyashma. I just got a notice on the Zoom. I still have not. I have to call YU. I have to fix the 40-minute limit problem. So just a reminder that if we do get thrown off before the end, just re-click on the link and we'll come right back on. So says Gemara that for Ibur Shana they wouldn't pause for anything. The elders of Hagronia, Amar Blazer Bar Tzaduk, Sheinu Oskin Ibur Hashana Biyavne, Lo Yinu Mafsikin Lo. That we were engaged in discussions of Ibur Shana, we wouldn't be mafsik not for Kriyashma and not for Tefillah either. Okay, so now a new Mishnah. This Mishnah is going to discuss a number of different gezeros that were made, starting with gezeros relating to Hotza'ah, but things that you're not allowed to do on Erev Shabbos, lest you come to violate Hotza'ah. Lo yetzei achayot b'machto. A tailor is not allowed to go out with his sewing needle attached to his while he's holding it. When he's holding it in hand, samach l'chashecha, shemi yishkach v'yetzei, because we're afraid that he's gonna forget about it and he's gonna walk out after Shabbos has already started, because the needle is very tiny and he's not going to remember that he's holding it. Lo alav lo b'klumoso, and a scribe cannot go out with his quill on erev Shabbos samach l'chashecha. Now, once we discuss those things that you can't do on erev Shabbos, lest you come to violate Shabbos, so we're gonna have other isurim that the Chacham said you can't do on Shabbos itself, lest you violate a melacha d'oraisa. Lo yefala eskelav, a person is not allowed to shake off or remove the lice from his clothing. Velo yikra la'araner, nor is he allowed to read from an araner on Shabbos, because we're afraid he might tilt the candle and to make the oil come closer to the wick so that the light will shine brighter, and that's going to be a violation of mavir b'Shabbos. The oil might come to extinguish the fire, I mean to come to light the fire better. And that's going to be a violation of Havara when he makes the fire stronger. Be'emes Amru, and then the Mishnah says that even though it's asur to read by an Aron Ner, there are certain places where he made an exception. That a Chazan, the one who, what they called Chazan then is what we would call a Gabai now, the one who's in charge of distributing the Aliyos and calling up the Olim, if he doesn't know where the laning is supposed to be the next day, so he has to check in advance. So Gabayim are doing their research in advance. Roa Hechon Tinokos Karin, he could check on Elel Shabbos by the Oraner where the children were reading from that week, because the children are always learning Parshas HaShavua. It's not like the Minhag nowadays where as soon as we get to Sefer Vayikra they just start learning about like Pesach and stuff and they stop learning Parshas HaShavua. It used to be that children would learn Parshas HaShavua every single week. So Avol Hulo yikra, but the fellow himself should not be kore la araneri. Could just take a quick look at where the children were up to. Keyotzi b'lo yochel azavim azava meher galaveira. And then we have another din that's a gzeris chacham that keeps a person away from nisa daraisa, but having nothing to do with Shabbos. That a zav is not allowed to eat together with a zava, even though he's also tamei. So you think, what do you have to lose? Because it might come lidei avera, because they're eating together, so it's gonna be, they might come to be balal. He might come to be balal her, and a zava is an iser kares. So even though he too is tamei, so you don't have tuma to worry about, but you have other things to worry about when a zav is together with a zava. And that's why we have in Hilchos Nida, we have a whole section of harchakos that relate to eating together, that there are certain things that certain safeguards that we put in place when eating together, because eating together can, in a romantic way, could turn into something else very quickly. Okay, Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Erevin. Lo yavar adam, lo yamur adam, rather, b'rishus ha-yachid, v'yishter b'rishus ha-rabim. A person should not be standing in a rishus ha-yachid, holding a kos out into the rishus ha-rabim and drinking with his head sticking out into the rishus ha-rabim, and similarly, or vice versa. He shouldn't be standing in Rosh Hashanah and drinking kos in Rosh Hashanah. Aval, im hichnas rosh v'ruba l'makom shu shose mutter. But if he puts the majority of his body into the rishus that he's drinking in, then it's mutter, because then there's a hacker to remind him that it's Shabbos, and we're not choshesh that he's going to move the kli from one rishus to the other. Tosus points out that even though the mashke goes into his stomach in the other rishus, he sticks out rosh v'ruba, but the hanacha of the mashke, you would imagine, is going to be in the Rishus where his legs are, where his stomach is. That's not considered Nakira Rishus Rabban Anacha Rishus Hayachid, because he says as soon as it enters his throat, it's already considered Munach, and his throat is in the Rishus that he's drinking in. Tosos in Maseches Erevin quotes from Rashi that you don't even need it to get to the Garon, that as soon as it's in his peh, as soon as it's in his mouth, that's already considered to be Nach, and Hanacha Bepeh is a Makom Ptur. So it's automatically going to be Pater. Aye, but even if you're Mavi from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, Derech Makom Ptur, we already had a discussion in the Gemara, that's problematic as well. Yeah, that's because sometimes in those types of Hotza'ah, you could have also been Motzi from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, not Derech Makom Ptur. But the only way to get something through your system is through your mouth, and your mouth is automatically a makom p'tur. So since that's the only option, so that's why we consider the makom p'tur. Okay, v'chein bagas, and the same is true when it comes to wine press. The Gemara says, so that's a little unclear what that means. So says Gemara, ibayiluhu. Carmelis mai. What would the halacha be about a carmelis? Meaning, can you stand in a rishus yachid or in a rishus rabim and stick your head out into a carmelis and drink from the carmelis? So I'm rabbi. He says the same thing. Carmelis is aser, just like a rishus rabim to a rishus yachid is aser. Carmelis is aser mitirabanan. But the halacha is going to be the same. Tos points out, this is a gzera l'gzera, as the Gemara is about to say, and Abaye also holds of the general concept of that we're not gozer gzera l'gzera. In fact, Abaye is the Balmeimra. In Maseches Beitza, Abaye is the one that says that we're lo gazrinan gzera l'gzera. Now, what you have to say, Tos says, is that over here in particular, when it comes to Hotza'ah, the Malacha Gerua of Hotza'ah, maybe we don't make a gzera l'gzera. Rava Amar, maybe we do make, rather, a gzera l'gzera. Rava Amar, Higuf gzera. Rava says, no, to a carmelist it's going to be fine. The whole is to stand in one rishos and drink in the other rishos is only gzera to begin with. So we don't need to make a gzera l'gzera. So the Gemara is going to challenge and try to bring rayas in this machlokas. How do I know that we in fact would make a gzera l'gzera over here? Because it says that the same applies to a wine press. My gas, what do we mean about a wine press? If we're talking about leaning over from rishos rabim into a wine press, it's a Rosh Hashanah, we already covered that. Rosh Hashanah, Tanina. And if it's a Rosh Hashanah, we also learned about that as well, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Elav Carmelis. It must be that it's a Carmelis, that it's between 3 and 10 Tvachim off the ground, and that's what we're saying, that you can't stand in either Rosh Hashanah nor Rosh Hashanah and drink from a Carmelis, from the gas. So you see that we make a Gzera L'Gzera. So Rava Amar, V'chein B'gas, Linin Maisa. Rava says, no. Those last two words, V'chein B'gas, have nothing to do with Hotza. That's a totally different din. That's about the din of Meiser. V'chein am Rav Sheshes. V'chein begas, linyan Meiser. What about Meiser is v'chein begas? alagas. Tetznan, the Mishnah Maseches Maestros tells us that shosin alagas. You could drink wine when you're leaning over the gas and you don't bring the wine outside of the gas. Bein alachamin, whether you diluted that wine with warm water. Bein alatzonin, or whether you diluted that wine with cold water. Upater, and your pater from Meister. The shtia on the gas is a shtia sarai, and before yayin goes into the bar of the gas, it's not called nigmar melachto. It hasn't yet been completed. The winemaking process hasn't yet been completed, and before it has a gemar melacha, you're allowed to have a shtias arai. You're allowed to drink like a little snack. Divrei Meir, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik mechayev. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik says yechayev because once you've been mozeg b'mayim, that's machshiv the shtia. Once you dilute it with wine, you've made it something real. The chamramim alacham in chayev, but alatzon ein pater. That no, if you diluted it with warm water, then you're going to be chayev and meiser because there's no way to be machzir that wine back into the gas. It's going to spoil the whole rest of the wine. But if you only diluted it with cold water, where it's not a permanent decision, so then you're going to be potter nation machzir. So mostly you can always put the extras back. So says Gemara, Raya number two. Tnan lo yetzei achayot b'machto samuch chashecha. The Mishnah says a tailor can't walk out with his needle on erev Shabbos samuch chashecha. Shema yishkach v'yetzei, because we're afraid he's going to walk out on Shabbos carrying the needle. My love, did chuvalo bebigdo? Isn't this talking about a case where the needle is stuck into his lapel? Right, that's what where the tailors would keep their needles. They would stick it in their beged to always have it handy in case they ever need it. So normally, when a person walks out with something tchuvelo bebigdo, it's ein derech hotzah bekach. That's only an iser derabanan. And look what the Mishnah is telling us. Even though the worst that's going to happen is the guy is going to walk out with a needle stuck into his lapel, which itself is only an iser derabanan, we aser him doing that on erev Shabbos, a gzeira l'gzeira. So don't you see that we make a gzeira l'gzeira when it comes to hotzah? So the answer is Rav Lo, denakale biyade. Where did the Mishnah ever say that the needle was tchuvelo bebigdo? He was carrying the needle in his hand. Raya number three, Toshima. Lo yetze achayit b'machta tchuvelo bebigdo. It's a beferish of Braisa that the chayit can't go out with a machat that's tchuvelo bebigdo, that's stuck into his lapel. My love, the erev Shabbos. Isn't this talking about erev Shabbos? So lo, kitanyehi b'Shabbos. No, that's talking about when it's Shabbos. So it's not a gzeira l'gzeira. It's just a single gzeira. Even if he's motzi it on Shabbos itself, l'chora, the Sfasemis raises the question, l'chora tzimlach shen shvich l'gufa. Because the halacha is that if you do something for a purpose other than what the purpose was in the Mishkan, so then it's called m'lach shen shvich l'gufa, even though it's the same exact action that you did. So when they were motzi something in the Mishkan, it was because they needed it. So if a person is carrying a needle on Shabbos, he's not going to sew on Shabbos, he doesn't need it to sew on Shabbos, so it's m'lach shen shvich l'gufa. That's the maisa they tell in Eretz Yisrael, that there was a fellow that was upset about the charedization of his neighborhood. So lahachis, he would go driving around his car around the entire neighborhood every Shabbos. So they informed him that it's probably only an issur d'rabbanan because he's only driving around lahachis. He doesn't need to get from one place to the other. So mele it's m'lach shein tzricha l'gufa. So if it's machlokas tanaim, whether it's an issur d'araisa or an issur d'rabbanan. But anyway, so the Sfasemis tries to say no. The tailor wearing the needle is to advertise that he's a tailor, and that happens even on Shabbos as well. So it's not only that he might need to use it. So he does. It is a melacha tzricha l'gufa. Okay, or you could just say that the Mishnah is that we're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda over here. Okay, says Gemara Vayitava Tanya. We have another brisa. Lo yetzei achayit b'machto tchuva b'bigdo be'erev Shabbos im chashecha. That it's more beferish over here that it's tchuva lo b'bigdo and it's erev Shabbos, so it's really a gzera l'gzera. So says Gemara Hamani. Rabbi Yehuda damar uman daruch umnas el chayiv. This is assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that any time anyone in that profession would walk out and that would carry something in that way, so that's considered daruch hotzah b'kach. That's considered a normal way to carry. Tanya lo yetzei achayit b'machto tchuva lo b'bigdo. Nagar b'kisem sheba azno, the carpenter with the ruler on his ear or the whatever he uses, the leveler. V'lo sorek b'mishicha sheba azno, and the comer with the strings that he uses in his ear. V'lo gardi b'ira, and the weaver with sheba azno with the wool that's in his ear. V'lo tzaba b'dugma sheba tzavaro, and nor a dyer with the samples of the different dyes around his neck. V'lo shulchani b'dinar sheba azno, nor a money changer with the dinar that's in his ear. Vimyatza potter. But if he goes out in these ways, he's potter from chatas because it's not derech hotzah avalasa. But it's also mitraban divrei meir. Rabbi Yudah omer uman derech umnaso chayiv. And Rabbi Yudah says, no, if this is the way people in this profession go out, then he's chayiv chatas. Even in this way, they carry things, even though other people don't carry things this way, because it's the derech of people in this. It's similar to like dinim of chatzitza that we learned at the end of Maseches Nida, that if something is would be a chatzitza for other people, but in that profession, people don't mind having this on their body. Painters don't mind. The Shulchan Aruch says painters don't mind having paint on their fingers. So male, it's not a chatzitza. It's not called makbid for a painter, even though for every other human being it would be called makbid. That sometimes these things are subjective. Ushar kol adam pater, but every other person who doesn't have one of these professions, so they're going to be pater because it's ein darko bekach. So we happen to be at a good stopping point, even though it's still pretty far from the end of the page. So I think maybe we'll stop, and our time is up. But we made it with the Zoom. Everyone should have a wonderful day, and be'ezus Hashem, I'll see you back here tomorrow morning.